All right, let's get right into it today. We are doing a deep dive into a Supreme Court case.
Yeah.
And it's one that, you know, if you've ever been annoyed by somebody ringing your doorbell, you're going to want to listen closely to this one.
Oh, yeah.
It's Martin v. City of Struthers.
Huh.
All about free speech and also the right to peace and quiet, like in your own house.
Yeah. And you know what's really interesting about Martin v. Struthers is it might seem like it's this, like, old case from 1943, but the principles in this case are things that we're still dealing with today.
Oh, I bet.
Like, think about it. All those homeowner association rules, you know, about what you can and can't do, like restrictions on, like, panhandling, even like some of those COVID restrictions we saw, you know,
right,
on gatherings and stuff.
Yeah, like, how could a case about, like, pamphlets, you know, at your front door, how could that have such a, like, a lasting impact?
Yeah.
So, okay, so what actually happened in this case?
Okay, so this case all started with Thelma Martin.
Okay.
She was a Jehovah's Witness in Ohio.
Yeah.
And like a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, she was going door to door,
yep,
handing out religious pamphlets, and she actually ended up getting fined.
What?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because the city of Struthers had this ordinance against, like, knocking on doors and ruining doorbells to distribute anything.
So wait, so it's not even about the content?
Nope, it didn't matter.
Could be like Girl Scout cookies or...
Girl Scout cookies, political flyers, anything.
Really?
It was totally prohibited.
Wow. That's intense. So, okay, so that sounds like a pretty simple, like, local rule.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this case, like, why did it go all the way up?
Yeah, you know, it seems pretty small, but the Supreme Court, they saw a much bigger issue here.
Okay.
And it really gets to the heart of the First Amendment.
Okay.
Like, does this violate freedom of speech and freedom of the press?
Oh, interesting.
And ultimately, the court said, yeah, it does.
So, I mean, I get how restricting somebody from spreading their message, like whatever it is, that could be at the free speech problem. But why was the court particularly concerned about, like, door-to-door things specifically? Like, I mean, I feel like that wasn't the only way to communicate back then.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you're totally right. There were definitely other ways to communicate, but think about it. Back in 1943, you know, no internet, no social media.
Right.
Going door-to-door was one of the most effective ways, especially for groups that maybe didn't have a lot of money,
right,
to actually reach people directly.
Like average people.
Yeah, like average people. Like, think about political campaigns, social movements, religious groups like the Jehovah's Witnesses. For them, this was, like, super important.
Ah, so by shutting down this method, they were basically silencing certain voices.
Exactly. And, you know, the court, they really zeroed in on this. They said that, you know, this ordinance was basically substituting, like, the community's judgment for the individual person.
So, like, whether or not I want somebody to knock on my door.
Yeah, exactly.
It's up to me.
Like, you get to decide if you want to engage with that person.
So it's not just about, like, am I annoyed by a salesperson? It's like, who gets to decide what information gets to me at my door?
100%. And, you know, it's worth noting, it wasn't actually a unanimous decision.
Oh, interesting.
Justice Reed, he wrote this dissent where he argued that the city's ordinance was reasonable.
Okay.
Because it protects people's privacy.
Yeah.
And, you know, helps prevent crime, right?
Right.
Like, he saw homes as, like, sanctuaries.
Oh, that's nice.
Like shields, right?
Yeah.
From unwanted disturbances.
So it sounds like you have this, like, classic kind of tension between free speech and then the right to privacy.
Yeah.
How did the court end up, like, balancing these two things?
Yeah, they use what's called, like, a balancing test.
Okay.
Where they weigh Thelma Martin's First Amendment rights against the city's interest in, you know, keeping things safe and orderly.
Yeah.
And in this case, they decided that the city's ordinance was just too broad.
It was like a blanket statement.
Yeah, it was, like, too sweeping in how it restricted things.
So they weren't saying, like, cities can never regulate this.
No, not at all.
But they have to do it in a way that doesn't totally shut down this type of speech.
Exactly, yeah. And that's where this idea of narrow tailoring comes in.
Yeah.
It's like this legal term that means that the law can't be too broad.
Okay.
It has to be, like, the least restrictive way to achieve the goal.
So, like, can you give us, like, a concrete example of something that would be too broad versus narrowly tailored?
Yeah, okay, so imagine a city that tries to, like, ban all flyers to try to cut down on litter.
Oh, okay.
That would probably be too broad. Right, like, they're using a sledgehammer when they just need, like, a fly swatter.
Right.
Maybe they could say, okay, you can only have flyers this big.
No.
Or you need a permit to hand them out, or you can only post them in certain areas.
Oh, that makes much more sense.
Yeah, those would be more narrowly tailored, right?
Oh, yeah, I get it. Okay. So it sounds like what the court was saying is, there are ways to deal with like annoying people knocking on your door.
Right.
Without just like totally banning it.
Exactly. In fact, the court even suggested something that we see everywhere today, like those no soliciting signs.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like a direct result of cases like this.
Yeah. It's like this compromise, right? Yeah.
So like I, as the homeowner, have a little bit of power here.
You get more control over your space and how you interact with the outside world.
That's really interesting. Okay. So we've been talking about this case from like a legal side of things,
mm-hmm.
but I'm kind of curious, what about like the historical context? I mean, this case happened right after World War II.
Yeah.
Did that have anything to do with like the decision?
For sure. Yeah. The post-war period was a time of like a lot of anxiety.
I bet.
Like there were concerns about crime, you know, door-to-door strangers, like, yeah. Are they who they say they are? And, you know, there were even like some leftover fears about like subversive activities. So all of those like social fears probably affected how the city of Struthers like approached this whole issue.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's not just like principles at play. It's also like what's going on in society at the time.
Yeah, totally.
And didn't you say earlier that Jehovah's Witnesses were kind of like strategically using lawsuits to test the waters with religious freedom?
Yeah, that's another piece of this whole puzzle. Jehovah's Witnesses, they were challenging laws all over the country.
Wow.
And Martin B. Struthers was part of this bigger plan to expand their rights.
So you've got post-war anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
You've got like a legal strategy going on.
Yeah.
And you've got like core constitutional principles.
Totally.
That's a lot.
It's a lot going on.
It's really fascinating. But before we go too far down the history rabbit hole, I kind of want to bring things back to today.
Yeah, good idea.
Because like we said at the beginning, this isn't just some like old case.
Uh-huh.
This has implications for like right now.
Absolutely. It's cited in legal cases all the time, even though it's, you know, almost 80 years old at this point.
Oh, wow. So that's where things get like really juicy for the listeners.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to save that conversation for part two.
Sounds good.
Of our deep dive into Martin V. Struthers.
I'm excited to get into it. Okay, so we've seen that Martin V. Struthers wasn't just about like people selling stuff door to door.
Right.
It really set up this framework for how the government can and can't regulate speech.
Yeah.
Even when it's happening right on your doorstep.
And that's what makes it so relevant to our listeners today.
Exactly.
It's not just a history lesson. It's like, this is a case with implications for how we live, like right now.
Absolutely. And Martin has kind of become this like touchstone case. It's cited in all kinds of situations.
Okay.
Where somebody's saying their free speech rights were violated.
Like in places you might not even expect?
Yeah, like maybe not obvious places.
Okay, so what are some of the like modern day things where Martin V. Struthers comes up?
Well, like think about those HOAs we talked about.
Yeah.
Homeowner associations. So many of them have all these rules about what you can and can't do on your own property.
Right, right.
Which often includes like putting up signs or handing out flyers.
Oh, yeah. I've totally seen those rules.
Yeah. No political signs, yeah. No flyers, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And those rules are often challenged, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Based on the First Amendment. And that's where Martin V. Struthers comes in.
So even though like an HOA is like a private organization.
Right.
They can't just completely ban like free speech stuff.
That's a key point from Martin. Even those private groups, they got to be careful not to have rules that are too broad or too restrictive.
Okay.
When it comes to free speech.
That makes sense. But I mean, don't HOAs have legitimate reasons for wanting to like, I don't know, regulate this stuff? Like maybe they want to keep things looking nice,
yeah,
or like not have too much clutter.
For sure. They've got their own interests.
Yeah.
But Martin tells us they have to balance those interests with people's right to free speech.
Okay.
So maybe instead of completely banning signs, they could limit the size.
Okay.
Or where they can be placed, or have certain spots for posting them.
So it's like finding that middle ground.
Yeah.
You know, like protecting free speech without letting it get totally out of control.
That's it.
Gotcha.
And that's what makes Martin V. Struthers so important. It gives people a legal basis to kind of push back against those rules,
yeah,
that are too restrictive, even within those private communities.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people living in HOAs don't even know that this Supreme Court case from 1943 is like protecting their right to put up a sign in their yard.
Totally.
That's crazy.
And it goes beyond HOAs too.
Oh, really?
Martin has been cited in cases about city ordinances,
uh-huh,
that try to regulate things like panhandling,
oh,
or asking for donations on the street. So cities can't just completely outlaw panhandling,
right,
even if some people find it I don't know, annoying or disruptive.
Yeah, I can see how some people would be annoyed.
Totally.
But I mean, cities do have a real interest in like making sure things are orderly and that people aren't being harassed, right?
Exactly.
So how do they balance all that with the First Amendment?
It comes back to that idea of narrow tailoring again.
Okay.
They can't just ban panhandling completely. They got to find ways that are less restrictive.
Okay, so what would be like some examples of less restrictive ways to deal with that?
Well, they could like make certain areas where it's okay to panhandle or set time limits.
Gotcha.
Or they could focus on regulating like aggressive behavior.
Okay.
Rather than just banning all asking for money, you know?
So again, it's about being really specific.
Yeah.
With the regulations, make sure they're dealing with the actual problem.
Right.
Without like overstepping on free speech.
Exactly.
And you know what? This brings up another interesting area where Martin V. Struthers has been really influential.
Yeah.
And that's religious freedom.
You got it.
We talked about how Thelma Martin was a Jehovah's Witness.
Uh-huh.
And how this case was partly about, like, religious expression.
Right.
So how does Martin V. Struthers connect to, like, religious freedom more broadly?
Okay, so remember, Martin basically said the government can't just completely shut down a way of communicating just because it's happening door to door.
Right.
That idea has been used to protect religious groups' rights to go door to door.
Okay.
To talk about their beliefs.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's what Thelma Martin's case was all about.
Exactly. And this issue became a big deal during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Remember all those lawsuits about COVID restrictions and religious gatherings?
Yeah, a lot of churches were pushing back on that.
Right. They were arguing that those limits on gatherings, even the ones that were supposed to protect people's health,
right,
violated their First Amendment right to practice their religion.
And I bet they cited Martin V. Struthers in their arguments.
You know it. Martin became a super important precedent in those cases.
Even though it was decided, like, way before COVID even existed.
Yeah, it's amazing how a case about pamphlets can be relevant to a global pandemic so many years later.
It really shows the power of these precedents.
It does.
Like, they set a principle.
Yeah.
And the government can't just ignore it.
Exactly. Martin established that the government can't just shut down expression.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's religious or not, unless they have a really good reason.
Oh. Okay, so we've covered so much ground here.
We have.
It seems like Martin V. Struthers is like woven through all these different areas of our lives.
It really is, and it shows how all our rights are connected, like free speech, privacy, religious freedom. They're all tied together.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Okay, so we've talked about HOAs, panhandling, even pandemic restrictions. It seems like this case is everywhere.
It pops up everywhere, and it shows how strong the First Amendment is and how important it is to protect those individual liberties,
right,
even when they might clash with other interests.
Well said.
Thanks.
So before we wrap things up, I want to make sure our listeners really get what this means for them, like personally.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Yeah, give them some takeaways.
Okay.
That they can actually use,
like actionable insights.
Exactly.
That's good.
But we'll have to save those brilliant final thoughts for part three.
All right.
Of our deep dive into Martin V. Struthers.
Can't wait.
All right. So we've gone through, you know, all the details of Martin V. Struthers, the history, what it means for us today. Now let's like really bring it home for our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, what are the big takeaways? What does this actually mean for like people in their everyday lives?
You know, I think one of the most important things to remember from Martin is that the First Amendment, it's not just about what you can say.
Oh, interesting.
It's also about your right to hear from other people, even if you find that message annoying, like a pamphlet at your door.
That's a good way to think about it. Like, it kind of flips the script a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
It's not just about the speaker, it's about the listener.
Exactly. And that's why the government can't just like randomly decide to cut off that flow of information.
Right.
Even if some people aren't into certain types of expression, like people coming to their door.
But as we've talked about, Martin doesn't mean cities or HOAs can't have any rules about this stuff. Right.
Right. It's not like a total free for all. The court didn't say cities can't do anything. But if they're going to make rules, they have to do it in a smart way.
Okay. So for those of us who aren't lawyers, what are some examples of ways to, you know, regulate this stuff without breaking the First Amendment? You mentioned those no soliciting signs before.
Yeah, those signs are a great example. They let each homeowner decide who they want to talk to instead of having a rule for the whole community.
That makes sense.
Hmm.
What about like setting times for when people can go door to door? Would that be okay?
Yeah, time limits can be a good way to deal with noise or being disruptive, especially in neighborhoods. Like a city might say, you know, no soliciting after 8 p.m., eh?
So it's all about finding that balance, right?
Yeah.
Like free speech, but also letting people have some peace in their homes.
Exactly. And the key is any rules have to be super specific to a certain problem, like we talked about before. It's kind of like, you know, if a recipe says add flour, you don't just dump the whole bag in.
Oh, I like that.
You add just enough, right?
Yeah.
That's narrow tailoring.
That makes it so much easier to understand.
I'm glad. And I think that's something important for anyone listening to remember. If you're dealing with this stuff, whether it's your HOA or you're like an activist, Martin V. Struthers gives you a way to figure things out.
So if you see a no canvassing sign or someone got in trouble for handing out flyers, think about Martin and ask yourself, is this rule really the best way to deal with the problem? Is there a better way that could protect free speech and let people have some peace?
Yes, ask those questions. Martin V. Struthers reminds us that we all need to protect our freedoms.
I think this deep dive has been really eye-opening.
Me too. It shows how a case that seems simple, like about a door-to-door salesperson, can tell us so much about how our democracy works.
Well said. Martin V. Struthers reminds us that even little limits on our freedoms can have big consequences. And that's why it's important to understand these cases. It's not just history. It's about understanding the rules that shape our lives today.
I totally agree. Thanks for having me on to talk about this. It's been great.
It is my pleasure. And to our listeners, keep thinking about these things and remember to question everything. Until next time, stay curious.